My father wanted me to go into the insurance business with him. He wanted me to be a salesman. He was a successful salesman, and he wanted me to do that too. But I chose a different path. I chose music and ministry. My father wasn't really happy with me for that. But I found my own identity, my own sense of self-worth in what I chose. My sense of self-esteem was based on what I wanted to do. For instance, piano lessons. I took piano lessons when I was a child, and I quickly discovered that at the annual piano recital, that the best student always played last. And I decided someday I'm going to be that student. And I was. And then there was the children's choir at church. Some of the children were chosen to sing solos. And I noticed that they got special hugs after the service. I wanted to get one of those special hugs. And I did. See, spot, run. That was how I learned to read in the first grade. Anybody identify with that? Mrs. Dabbs always praised most highly the ones who could read out loud and read well. And I wanted her praise. And I got it. I joined the Boy Scouts. We had a chicken dinner at church. We had to sell tickets to the chicken dinner, door to door, to adults. And the boy who sold the most chicken dinners got a free chicken dinner. I wanted that free chicken dinner. I got it. I was a good salesman even as a Boy Scout, and that made my father proud. And I am told by some that I can still sell things today. Now, if it sounds like I'm boasting, I can be even more obnoxious than that. College, grad school, degrees, pipe organs, choirs, conducting, tours, publications, blah, 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 all of that, all of us have built resumes. All of us find our identity in the things we've achieved. Most of us feed our fragile egos based on those resumes, and we defined our identity by our accomplishments in this life. And we can easily, if we're not careful, we can easily put our confidence in ourselves and our achievements. So what does all this have to do with Philippians? Paul said in chapter 3, verse 4, if anyone else think he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. And then he went on to describe himself as a super Jew. And whatever he set out to do, he accomplished. He found his identity. He found his self-worth in observing the law religiously. He even persecuted Christians with vengeance. And then he met Jesus Christ. Verse 7 of chapter 3. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now, when I ponder those wonderful words of Paul, I have to ask myself, Harry, how well do you know Jesus Christ? How much do you value Jesus Christ over your resume? What defines your identity, Harry, and your self-worth? And of course, I want you to ask yourself those same questions. Do you know Jesus Christ? How well do you know him? What difference does he make in your life? Perhaps many of us sitting here would say, oh yes, yes, I know him. I've known him for a long time. I go to church every Lord's Day, and I've been doing that for 200 years. I'm a very religious person. Don't forget that Jesus had something to say to very religious people in Matthew 15. He said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. May he never say that about me. May he never say that about any of us. The question I just asked was, how well do you know Jesus Christ? Now, Steve Fry is a Christian musician, and he wrote a wonderful song about knowing Christ. And it starts with these words, just the time I feel my mind's been bought by worldly wealth, that's when the breeze begins to blow. I know the Spirit's call, and all my worldly wanderings just melt into his love. Oh, I want to know you more. Deep within my soul, I want to know you. Oh, I want to know you, to feel your heart and know your mind. Looking in your eyes stirs up within me cries that say, I want to know you. Oh, I want to know you more. Oh, I want to know you more and more and more. Philippians 3, beginning with verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Twice in that passage, he used the word righteousness. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but the righteousness that comes from God. What is righteousness? What is righteousness? Do I have it? Do I want it? Should I have it? In our dictionary, it says that righteousness is one who has moral integrity. But the Bible goes further than that. The Bible word for righteousness is deeply tied to the court system, and it has to do with a right relationship. A relationship. In the Old Testament, God always acted with righteousness. He made covenants with his people. He made promises with his people, and he kept them. He treated his people according to those covenants. Sometimes he chastised his people, and sometimes he delivered his people. When he chastised them, he was their judge. When he delivered them, he was their savior, and he is still that today. But in all of that activity throughout the Old Testament, he called for the people to live in a right relationship with one another and with him. In the New Testament, Jesus preached about a right relationship with God and with men. Do you remember the story? Luke 18, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else. Do you know anybody like that? To those who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, etc., 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 and you know the story. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other one, became justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The word justified in that passage is a synonym for righteousness. And Paul gave us wonderful teachings about the righteousness. Listen to what he said in Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile, hallelujah. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Are you still with me? Let's summarize it. Righteousness is a gift from God that comes through a right relationship with Him and with one another. How do you gain that right relationship with God? It's simple. Through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Do you know Him? Do you want to know Him more? He knows you. And He wants to know you more and more and more and more and more and more. Do you remember what Paul said in verse 8? He said, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I consider them rubbish. You might be surprised to know what the word rubbish literally means. And the King James translation nails it. Listen, it says, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung. You heard it. Dung. All the other translators use nicer words, but the King James puts it right out there, and you know exactly what he meant by that word. You heard it correctly. Where do you receive your sense of identity and your self-worth? Do you have a college degree? Dung. Do you have a graduate degree? Dung. Were you ever promoted to a higher position at work? Dung. Have you ever been published, or have you ever been in the spotlight or on the stage or sung a solo? Dung. That is to say, when you compare all those good things with the glorious relationship that you can have with Jesus Christ and with God, your Father, through Jesus Christ, everything else is worthless. That's what Paul was trying to tell us and get our attention. But the zinger is this question. Are you willing to make Him the priority in your life? Paul's outcry should be our outcry. I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. That should be our outcry. Paul did not say, I want to know about Christ by reading about Him or going to Bible studies or listening to one more sermon about Him. I want to know Him. Many of us are better at intellect than we are at intimacy. Let me say that again, men. Many of us are better at intellect than we are at intimacy. All of us often recite the Apostles' Creed here in our services. We state what we believe, and many of us have actually memorized the Apostles' Creed. Have you actually internalized the Apostles' Creed? Is there any flesh on the bones there? As wonderful as that creed is in summarizing the tenets of our faith, it's nothing but the shell of a house without a foundation unless it is built on the rock that is solid, on Jesus Christ. It's far easier to accept the fact of Jesus than it is to accept the face of Jesus. I want to know him more. Where are you on that? Could you sing, "Oh Lord, I want to know you more"? Nothing is wrong with all the things that I said about Bible study and sermons and reading books about. Nothing's wrong with all that. If they lead to a right relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're sitting there right now wondering how much longer this is going to go and what you're going to have for lunch, it isn't going to do you any good. It needs to lead to a right relationship with Jesus. Knowing him leads to that right relationship. Grasping the truth that you can have a, listen to this word, personal relationship with Jesus Christ will change your life forever. We live in an age of information. Many of us have computers. Most of us have computers. Many of us have smartphones. If you want to know something, you can push a button and ask it. And a little voice comes out and answers the question. It's an amazing age of information that we live in. For instance, if you want to know, ask Google, push the button, ask Google, when was the Berlin Wall constructed? Ding, 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 out comes this little voice and it says, August 13, 1961, the Berlin Wall was constructed. But now you ask Klaus von Kersler that question. He was 23 years old. He was studying law in Berlin on August of 1961. And he would tell you that as they watched those Germans building that wall, they thought, well, this is going to be a nuisance, but this will go away. But 28 years later, he will tell you that it changed his life. It transformed his life from being a student to being a freedom fighter. Klaus von Kersler risked his own life to help 68 other people cross over that wall, over a bed of nails, by attack dogs, by 116 watchtowers armed with guards with orders to shoot to kill. It is not just knowledge of that wall that changed his life. It's knowing that wall. It's living that wall. It's not just knowledge of God that changes your life. It's walking with God. It's being with God. It's having a personal relationship with God. The key is intimacy, intimacy, and a personal relationship with God. I was 20-some years old before I ever heard that you could have a personal relationship with God. You're never too old to hear that. Never too old or too young. You can have a personal relationship with God. There are Christians who have never taken the steps for a right relationship with Jesus Christ other than with their minds. I have an intellectual knowledge of Julie Andrews. In 1965, when The Sound of Music came out, I thought I was madly in love with Julie Andrews. But you know what? I don't know her, and she doesn't know me. We have never met. We do not have a relationship. Have you ever thought that you were in love with God, but you don't know him, and you're not sure he knows you, and you don't really have an intimate relationship? Adrian Rogers is a great pastor, preacher, and he said this in one of his sermons. It's too good to paraphrase. I'm going to read it. He said, "One of the tragedies is that people come to church and learn about God, but they do not know God. You can know about God without knowing God. And if all you do is know about God, then indeed you are going to be lost, you're going to die, you're going to perish. But if you know God, then you're going to love God. Because no one can truly know Him without loving Him, because God is love. And if you love God, you are going to trust God. Because when you see how much He loves you, how easy it will be for you to trust Him. And when you trust Him, you are going to obey Him. For we cannot fully obey someone whom we do not trust. And when we obey Him, we're going to be blessed. For the Bible says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. So, do you want to be blessed? Then you have to obey. Do you want to obey? Then you have to trust. Do you want to trust? Then you have to love. Do you want to love? Then you need to know. You need to know God. Oh, I want you to know Him more and more. To know more than the way He just walked around the Sea of Galilee and touched the lives of people, but to know the way He walks with you right now, every day, along the way, in the hospital, in the home, in the car, in your relationships. To know how He healed people with His ministry, but to know even more how He heals you when you are sick. How He protects you. How He comforts you. Right now, if you let Him. I want you to know His literal resurrection from the dead, but even more, I want you to know the implications for your life eternal. That you are going to be resurrected. I want you to recognize the sound of His voice when He speaks to your spirit. I want you to recognize the encouragement that He sometimes whispers to you when you can see nothing good. But He can. I want you to know the peace of God that passes the intellect, the understanding, especially when all you feel is stress. Brothers and sisters, to have that kind of right relationship with God makes everything else in your life rubbish. Let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that You will penetrate the heart of every listener and that they will hear Your voice saying to them right now, I want to know You more. And that they would respond to You, Lord, I want to know You more. And I pray that every brother and sister in this room will have a personal, intimate relationship with You that will change their lives and lift them up and bring them Your incredible peace. I pray this for all of us gathered in the name of Jesus. Amen.